Thank you, Dr. Muyonga. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us again to be before you, to be at your feet, to worship you and to also hear from you. We pray that you bless us, Lord, as we hear and share your word, and this word will bear fruit in our heart, in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Abel, and I'm once again privileged to be here, to be the one sharing with you God's word. And if you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to open it with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew 26. I'm going to do the reading from verse 36 down to 41. Matthew 26 from verse 36 down to 41. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and told the disciples, "Sit there while I go over there to pray and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is God's word. The topic of the message today is spiritual sleep. We began a series on overcoming temptation, and today we want to see a little bit what gives strength to our inclination to be tempted, and that is sleep. The passage we have read is telling us a story, is telling us, it is describing us what happened before Jesus be arrested. He took some time alone to pray along with some of his disciples. As we can see, after some time, his disciples, they were probably tired, and they fell asleep when Jesus actually wanted and expected them to be praying along with him. Generally speaking, sleeping is very important. Is a very good thing because it has so many benefits. We cannot stay awake for 1, 2, 3 days and remain healthy. Sleep is very beneficial to all of us. So, we may ask ourselves, what is wrong with sleeping? Because when Jesus came back to his disciples,
he found them sleeping, but he was disappointed. That was not what he was expecting them to be doing. But is sleeping wrong? Well, it depends. It depends on the timing, and it depends on who, the role you are supposed to be playing. Imagine you hire somebody to be a watchman, or you hire somebody to, or you are hired to be a security guard somewhere. And all of a sudden, after some point, sometime you are found sleeping. So you see, a security guard or a watchman, he's not expected to be sleeping at night. So even though sleeping is a good thing, but when you're on duty, and especially when you're a watchman, sleeping is not what really expected of you. And we know that sleeping on duty as a security guard can cost you your job. So the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3, when God called Ezekiel to ministry, this is what he told him. He said, "Son of man," Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 13 to 19. He says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked person, 'You will surely die,' but you don't warn him, you don't speak out to warn him about his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person will die for his iniquity. Yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn a wicked person and he does turn from his wickedness or his wicked way, he will die for his iniquity, but you will have saved your life." Hallelujah. So sleep per se can be a good thing, but for a watchman, which you and I are, God expects us to be watching, to watch and pray. Why? Because that's the only way we can overcome temptation before it happens. Hallelujah. Because the strength to overcome temptation is not found in the midst of temptation. The strength to overcome temptation is found before temptation comes. But when you talk about sleep, what do we really mean? What is sleep? Sleep is a state of mind, is a state of rest, for the mind and for the body. And that state is marked with complete or partial loss of consciousness. So when we are sleeping, we are not conscious of what is happening around us. We don't have control of our body. We don't have control over our environment. And we are not very sensitive to what is happening around us, to our environment. That's what happens when we are physically sleeping. But what we talk about spiritual sleep, we use a metaphor of natural sleep to describe a state of spiritual heaviness or dullness. A state where we are not very sensitive to our own needs, our own spiritual needs. We are not very sensitive to the spiritual needs of the others. And that is a very dangerous place for you and I to be. Why? Because as we can say, it is a state that is very disappointing to the Lord. And that manifests in so many ways. When Jesus went further, he distanced himself a little bit from his disciple, he came back, found them sleeping, physically sleeping. This is also what we see when Jesus was about to leave his disciples. In John chapter 14, we have the Bible tells us about what Jesus was saying in the upper room a few hours before his arrestation and his crucifixion. In John chapter 14, from verse 1 down to 3, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you." But he also says, "I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." Jesus was crucified, he died, he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended into heaven, he left his disciples, and he promised that he's going away, but he will come back. But then, before he returns to pick up his church, Jesus ran something we could call an interim assessment, an interim evaluation. Before he comes back to collect his church, in the book of Revelation, we read from chapter 2 and 3, we see Jesus coming back to run a kind of assessment to see the state of his church. And then we see the letters, seven letters that are written to the seven churches reported by the Apostle John. And when we read Revelation 2 and 3, we can see what Jesus is saying about the state of his church before he returns. And what Jesus says is actually, we can see from what he's saying, we can see that he finds his church in a state of sleep. And that sleep is manifested at least by five marks that I want us to consider one by one. The first thing Jesus noticed when he examines his church, we see is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 down to 4. This is what he says. He says, to the church of Ephesus, he says, "I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and you cannot tolerate evil. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name. And have not grown weary, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had first." This is what the state in which Jesus finds the church of Ephesus. And we can see that this church is found in the state of coldness. spiritual sleep manifests in this church in the form of coldness. What do I mean by coldness? Coldness is when we don't show any progress in our love for God and for the people. Brothers and sisters, if there is one thing that will differentiate the disciples of Jesus from other people, it is love. If there is one command that Jesus left us, it is to love God and to love our neighbor. In this world, the currency, I could say, if I could use a metaphor, in the kingdom of God, the currency is love. Love is the measure of everything that we do. If I preach, if I sing, if I pray, if I give, no matter whatever I do, the value of what I do in the kingdom of God is only valuable to the measure of love I put in it. Hallelujah. Love is the measure by which God will assess our work. And the problem of this church and of some of us, is that when you consider the love that you had when you first believed, you compare it with the love that you have today, what do you notice? What do you observe? Have you grown in your love for the Lord? Have I grown in the love for His people? And how does this love manifest? Hallelujah. That is the most important thing. And the less we love, the more we are sleeping. And you see, this is a very difficult thing to see from the outside. But the Spirit of God who is in us, who searches the heart and the mind of man, knows, and we know, He bears testimony to our heart whether what we are doing, if we are doing it out of love, or if we are doing it out of pride, to be noticed, or just to fulfill a duty. It is very easy to do many things in church, but the real value of it is what is driving me to do what I'm doing. And the Lord knows it. The Spirit of God who is in us knows it. And if we are truly believers, that Spirit of God who is in us bears testimony to our spirit. And we know if what is driving us, if what is driving me to do what I do, if I'm doing it out of love, or just to be noticed, or just to, for other reasons. The second way spiritual sleep is manifested is through false teachings. And this is what we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Jesus speaking to the church says this. He says, I know where you live. This is a church that lives in a very polluted environment. The Bible even says that it's a place where Satan has established his general headquarters. Jesus says, I know where you live, And you are holding on to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you. You have some there among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam. Verse 15, he says, you have also those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. False teachings. Those teachings that Jesus is talking about, many commentators of the Bible agree that those were teachings that were condoning immorality and idolatry. False teachings. Teachings that are sweet to the ears, sweet to the flesh, and sometimes uplifting, motivational, thought-provoking, appealing, but not God-breathed. And today it has become very, very difficult at some point to distinguish what is really, really coming from God, what is really inspired by the Holy Spirit, from what is coming from just human desires and mind. But we have, thank God, we have His Word and we have His Spirit. And the Spirit of God is always available to show those who seek Him in His Word, to teach them the way of the truth, to help them grow in discerning what is actually from Him and what is not from Him. Today we have become so addicted to success, to comfort, to so many things that we come in the presence of God, we come to the church. Yes, we have needs, we have earthly needs. And sometimes the gospel is diverted from His main purpose, which is to prepare the church for the second coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that any teaching which does not help you and me to be ready to meet the Lord is not from the Lord. We can be successful. We can grow in our comfort. We can achieve our dreams. But what will happen to those fulfilled dreams when the Lord comes? What are we going to present to Him? What are we going to offer to Him? Am I going to show to the Lord my degree when He comes? Lord, you gave me your Spirit, and this is my degree. Lord, you gave me your Spirit, and this is the house I've built. You gave me your degree, this is the amount, this is how far I've reached in my career, in my ministry. Why is the Spirit of the Lord given to us? Hallelujah. Anything that does not prepare you and me to meet with the Lord, anything that which does not help you and me to grow in the things that matter in the end, are just a distraction. And we need to set apart, to set ourselves apart from those teachings. The third way in which spiritual sleep is manifested is through tolerance. Tolerance of immorality and idolatry. We see it in verse 19 and verse 20. Jesus says, I know your works, your love faithfulness, service, and endurance. Your last works are greater than the first. This church does not have the problem of the church, the first church of Ephesus. His last works are better than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate the woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and teaches and deceives my slaves to commit sexual immorality and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. The problem here is tolerance. This is a church that has the power to do what is right in God's sight, but a church that decides not to confront immorality and idolatry. A church that chooses not to address with the courage and the strength that the Spirit gives to address any form of authority that establishes itself in the church to defile it. And it does so, it does not do so because confronting any kind of power comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. And in many instances today, we have just decided not to disturb the established way of doing, the established authority, or people who have anointed themselves, or maybe who have been anointed by God's people, but somewhere along the way, they have become compromising, or they have become tolerant to things that are not giving glory to the Lord. And Jesus is rebuking his church for not using the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to them to confront evil. Hallelujah. And sometimes we tolerate things for the sake of so-called peace. We so want peace that we end up being, and that is not a peace that comes from God. And we end up being compromising, and we disappoint the Lord. The fourth sign of spiritual sleep is shallowness. Shallowness. When something is shallow, it means it's not deep. And this is a hallmark of many Christians today. Many Christians are content, are comfortable with where they are. I'm saved. I go to church. I listen to the sermon. I pray before I eat. I pray in the bad times. And things are going well in my life, with my life. Everything is fine. We remain at the surface when it comes to the things of God. We do not seek to know Him more than we do. We don't seek to grow in the knowledge of the Bible. In fact, if you try to do so, immediately you are labeled, because we have full access in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God. The Spirit of God has been given in the same measure to the pastor, to the minister, and to a mere believer. Hallelujah. It is not for those, it's not only for those who are in the school of theology. We all have the same Bible. In fact, we are even blessed today. You can know without going to school. From your room, you can grow in the knowledge of the Bible. Hallelujah. And in practicing what the Bible says. This is the problem of the church. And this is the problem of many Christians today. If we remain shallow, without roots, without depths, this is what the Lord says. He says, be alert and strengthen what remains, for I have not found your works complete before my God. Remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. But if you are not alert, I will come like a thief, and you have no idea at what hour I will come, not for you, but against you. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, if we don't grow, if our works are not complete, he is not coming for us. He's coming against us. This is how dangerous spiritual sleep is. And the fifth mark of spiritual sleep is lukewarmness. The fact of being neither hot neither cold. And we see it today also in the church. We see many Christians, some Christians, I would say, are most concerned with the middle ground. Yes. When you're dealing with spiritual matter, they seek for the middle ground. And sometimes it appears to be a sign of wisdom. God wants us to be either cold or hot. The problem with being lukewarm is we think we are still in the will of God. But the Lord says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Hallelujah. And spiritual lukewarmness manifests itself in a church that gives more priorities to financial and material growth and neglect spiritual wealth. And this is the problem of the church today. Everything tends to be measured in terms of how much money it brings in. This is a really big problem for the church. If we are going to think that way, we will have churches that are financially prosperous, materially prosperous, that has nothing to envy to secular organizations. But when the Lord comes, he will spit out of his mouth, because we have neglected the spiritual wealth, which matters most for the church. And for the Lord, I would say. Brothers and sisters, the invitation this morning is to wake up. To leave. To quit sleeping. To wake up, because the Lord says in Romans 13 verse 11, beside this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Hallelujah. And in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15, the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. The Lord is inviting us to quit sleeping. How do we quit? By repenting. By turning away from our ways, and to come back to the word, to come back to what matters to the Lord. And this is the only way we can be ready to meet the Lord when he returns. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.